Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong.
And welcome to the Say What Show. This is Nancy Hopkins. It's December 1st, 2018. With me is Dolly Howard. And we're just going to chit-chat and have a good time. And hi, Dolly.
Hi, Nancy. Hi, everybody out there.
Yeah. This is Cosmic Reality Radio, and I think Haggy's simulcasting. We're not exactly sure what's happened to Colleen. If you're out there, please contact us.
Really? We want to know if you're still breathing. What the heck's happening? Are you okay?
Yeah. Are you so used to having no stress of radio that you don't want to do it anymore? I mean, what's happening, Colleen?
Yeah. Just let us know.
We won't make you do radio if you don't want, honey. Come back home.
Yes.
Please. Well, we know she moved. We do know that.
Yeah.
We just, and we've talked to her, but, you know, all of a sudden, of course, you know, I mean, she's got that little rosy girl, but we're not getting rosy reports either. You know, I mean, it's kind of rude of her.
Yeah, really. We're getting nothing.
It's like like watching a soap opera that all of a sudden is on hiatus. Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'd ask you how your Thanksgiving was, but I won't.
Oh, thank you.
You know, though,
you had a good one. You didn't tell me about yours.
Yes, I had a good Thanksgiving. The people came down and, you know, I had a good time. I think Peter had a good time. I think Betsy had a good time. I know Sandy had a good time, and that was all. We used to have a lot of people, you know, but as you get older, they move, they go away, you have less and less people, some of them die.
I know, the nerve of them.
Oh, we had this one friend, Bob, nice guy, really nice guy. But I got so I was being, that every time we had some kind of a gathering, I'd get really nervous, because every time we'd have a gathering and Bob was there, I at some point would think, should I call 911? You know, it's like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was really sick. He was. I mean, he did die. But it was like, you know, when you're getting older, it's funny, because people are all they're doing is talking about how they feel.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm blessed. I mostly feel great. And I don't go to a doctor, so if there was something wrong with me, I don't know it. So reality is what...
put the idea in your mind that you're not right.
Right. Reality is what you think it is, and I really have never met anybody that has said that they have cancer that wasn't told that by a doctor. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got cancer. Oh, God, I'm going to die. You know, well, you didn't think that when you walked in the office. Oh.
That's not me calling you.
No, it's Annette, your daughter, for some reason. She just put the number in her phone, and so she's, I don't know what she's doing. Checking in, I guess. I see there's a lot of communication in your household.
Yeah, there is. How do you know?
Well, because you're on radio, she should know that.
Oh.
With me.
She must have went in her bedroom.
Yeah, she spaced us out. She's missing such a good show.
Yeah, really. Oh, my gosh. She was sitting in the living room, which is right on the other side of my bedroom wall.
So what's been happening... my goodness, it's really gotten, it keeps getting more and more interesting out there. First off, well, we just finished a show that was talking about Oak Island, you know, and yes, that episode was pretty amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
They all are. anymore. They really, all of them are getting more and more and more exciting with each show.
Well, each show they find more and more.
Right.
So
at least they show us that they have found more.
Well, they just kind of were walking around with this kind of smug thing with, you know, like, we've got the secret. You know, I mean, it's like the feeling this year with the people is so much different than last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year it was like, we got to find something here. We got to find something, you know, and this year it's like, so they found something.
And last year, Rick looked so sick. Because he had that Lyme disease. Oh, man, he just looked awful to me.
Yeah.
And depressed and sick. But this year when I first saw him, I thought, oh, he's better. And they found something.
Well, you know, I saw them, all of them, and I said, yeah, they found something. I wonder if it's the Fountain of Youth because they look so good.
They do.
Yeah.
All of them. I didn't even think of the Fountain of Youth before, because I thought that was supposed to be in Florida.
Well, it is in Florida. I've told you my theory about the Fountain of Youth, haven't I? I love this story, because, you know, I mean, so much of Ancient Aliens, you watch it, you know, and it's like, the myth is that this and this and this and this, you know, but is it a fairy story, or is it, you know, something that really happened? Especially when they're talking to, like, birdmen. You know, what's a birdman? Somebody that comes from the sky. How would a very indigenous peoples that we don't, well, they didn't have internet, so, you know, how would they know what this is? And except to say, well, they came from the sky, they must be birdmen, right?
Yes.
So I love listening to the gods, you know, who are the gods? I watched a whole thing last night about, you know, pyramids. Oh, that was fascinating. On Ancient Aliens. It was an old show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But and most of what they were saying to me I knew, but you get it a little bit at a time. And to bring it together like they did with all of the pyramids that are worldwide. I mean, they're all over the world.
Yep.
You know, and in China they've got this one now. You gotta like the Chinese, you know, they got a sense of humor. Oh my gosh, we got a pyramid. What are we gonna do with it? Well, let's put trees on it and nobody will see it. So, so, right? Have you ever seen this thing? So,
No, I don't think.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, so you got this, of course, Google Earth sees everything. You know, over here in America, if there's a military facility, you know, Google Earth is forced to blur it, not give the resolution to it that, you know, somebody would need if they wanted to target it or whatever. But over in the Chinese, I don't think Google is going to give them the same. Oh, you want us to hide that? I don't think so. And so there are pictures from space on Google of these pyramids in China. You can see them from space, all right, because... You know, you know how they see with all this other stuff that they got on it. And, there's this farmland, you know, a big region of farmland, all flat, all farming things. And then there's this huge acreage, large number of acres that has trees growing on it. You know, and you go, you know, those trees, they have a, well, it must be a little hill underneath it. No, well, you know, and so they got a pyramid. They grew trees on it. But it's like, well, I don't think he hit it very well because there's, I can see a...
Makes it stick up even more.
it just cracked me up when I was looking at that. But, you know, they've got the one in McKinley Mountain up in Alaska. They were getting anomalous readings, electromagnetic readings from this mountainous area. And it turns out that there's a buried pyramid there. Huge. They say this thing is huge. And somebody went to Linda Moulton Howe and said, yeah, you know anything about this McKinley Mountain pyramid? And she's like, no, but they start to talk about it. And then somebody hears him, and he comes, and he's an anonymous source. And he tells a story about his dad actually working there, and that it is a huge pyramid. And they had to be secret, you know, like this thing. And it is putting out an energy field of, you know, extraordinary amount of energy. So they've kept it hidden, of course, from the public. They don't want the public knowing this.
Of course.
Right, but
we can't know about things like that. We might just die from fear.
Shaking in our boots.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're all over the place. So, but looking at it all at once, you know. And the guy from Egypt, he said that they estimated that probably they've only uncovered a third of all the pyramids that are in Egypt. Which I find
very interesting. Yeah, I have heard that. Several times I've heard that. And at first I thought, well, how can that be? Would they fit? But yeah, they'd fit. Because it's huge over there. All that sand.
Well, remember the Sphinx was lost under the sand
for
until, you know, not too long ago, comparatively.
Right.
And they kind of allude to the fact of the flood. You know, that there was this society, but they wanted it buried. Uh-huh. And so they had a worldwide flood that rains for 40 days and 40 nights, you know. And if you had that much rain, I suppose that, you know, in the sands of Egypt, it could cover it up. Or somebody had dump trucks and they were covering it up. But a lot of this stuff is just buried.
Yeah. Dump trucks.
Well, hey, they had other technological things. You know, who's to say they didn't?
They probably had better, more high-tech dump trucks than we have. Oh, hey. Hi, Aquarius. Welcome back. I hope you're taking care of yourself. He's in the hospital, you know.
He's in the hospital? I didn't realize he was in the hospital. I thought he had come home from the hospital.
No, I think he's still there.
Oh.
At least that's the way I read it.
Let's just, you know, have him think of God's armor. Put God's armor on, like Christia Cummings Slack tells us, so you don't pick up any germs in the hospital.
Right. My doctor in Venice always said, the worst place for you to be is in a hospital. Too many germs there.
Well, sick people go there.
Yeah, he said that to me, too.
Why would you go someplace where a bunch of sick people are?
I don't really want to. I don't like it in the hospital. They keep you up 24 hours a day, and then they tell you, well, you can't get out of bed. Well, why the hell not? You're keeping me up 24/7. I got to have something to do. And they put me in the bed that if I do try to get out, the damn thing has got bells and whistles on it, and everybody in the hospital knows I tried to get up. Jeez. Oh, he is still in the hospital. I have my shungite and my crystals in my room. Oh, good.
Good. At least you...
Very good.
Yeah, at least you got them.
Yep.
Oh, be safe and be blessed and get out of there soon. I mean, you know, we don't need you in the hospital.
No, don't be hanging around.
No, sick people.
Sick people, yeah.
Come on out of there. But I love the fact that he's in the hospital, but at least we're still talking to him.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah, you know, we're here for you. You're not alone, darling. We're not alone. None of us are alone.
No.
Yeah. So, let's see. What else has been happening?
Well, Bush Sr. died today. Gee, what a shame.
No, but Jan Moore said that, but she didn't know why. I mean, how?
No, I have had OAN on since she said that. Of course, I have it muted, but they really haven't said anything as to the reason. And I Googled, well, I did my DuckDuckGo with it because I don't use Google. And DuckDuckGo didn't say any reason why either, so who knows? He was pretty sickly, though, so it could have been natural causes.
Well, it's plus just, his wife died not too long ago, within...
Right.
You know, and that happens to longtime partners. One goes and then the other one goes.
Yeah, it said that she did in April. She had passed away.
Now that seems a lot longer than April. Oh, I'm so screwed up on time.
It wasn't so long ago. April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. 7 months.
I know, it seems more than that.
No, just seven.
So
a lot's happened, that's why. Oh, and speaking of a lot happening, I am really getting excited about the arrests being made. They aren't quite the arrests I want to be made, but arrests are happening.
Yes, and that article that I sent you to go look at not a week ago, I'm going up the thing. Maybe it wasn't even on this one, this thread here. But that was talking about the tweet from the Attorney General's office about these meetings about martial law.
Oh, yeah.
You looked at it, but I think it's on the other one.
Yeah. I look at whatever you put in there. I always look at it.
Yeah.
But I can't remember other than they were talking about it.
Right. I'm trying to find it here. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, U.S. Attorney's Office announces military. Let's look at that. I want to read that because it's not very long. Okay. I won't read the whole thing. The military, it's a tweet. Military investigation services, along with state and federal law enforcement agencies, to hold a press conference at the Department of Corrections in Columbia on Wednesday, November 28th. Now, that, I guess it happened. I'm not sure. It was weird, you know. But the Twitter account of U.S. Attorney for the great state of South Carolina has announced a press conference concerning military tribunals scheduled for the 28th. And I was, as I was reading it, like, going like, I wonder if they were supposed to make this public, you know?
Well, there were a lot of arrests made that day, weren't there? Isn't that the day that they did the whole, in that one state, what, Mississippi was it?
South Carolina. Yeah. But the press con, well, just the fact that somebody in authority, you know, the U.S. Attorney for the great state of South Carolina, said that members of the Naval Criminal Investigative Services, U.S. Army Criminal Investigation Command, Air Force Special Investigations, the Department of Defense Criminal Investigation Services, the Internal Revenue Service. They're not even a government agency, I don't think.
I know. They aren't messing around because different agencies than I thought were involved.
Yeah, criminal investigations, the United States Marshal Services, South Carolina Department of Corrections, and the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. This schedule is interesting. On the 1st of December, a G20 summit in Argentina. I guess the president's going there.
Well, that's going on right now.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess it would because this is the first. And then on the 3rd, James Comey is supposed to testify, and on the 4th, Jeffrey Epstein trial.
I think the Comey thing got postponed
because Bush died. Yeah.
I don't know what it was. A judge was involved. Maybe it'll flash across the screen again and I can tell you.
It's
See, I just half pay attention to what's on.
Yeah, and it, yeah, because, you know, that was Hillary, you know. Now she's got to go back to federal court and is being compelled to testify again regarding her email, those emails that she didn't send to China.
You're right, right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
this woman has done some... I mean, the audacity and the arrogance of some of the things that she has done is just screwy.
It's incredible. Because of her emails, people have died.
Yes, yes. The other thing is that, oh God, can I remember the numbers? There was, when she was Secretary of State, the Clinton Foundation was making something like $231 million a year. It was hundreds of millions of dollars a year in donations. Uh-huh. Then she leaves as Secretary of State, and all of a sudden it's, you know, $30 million. You know, nothing compared to what it had been.
Donations went way down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, that, you know, of course, people that are watching this say, well, it's because she was making them donate.
Yeah.
To the Clinton Foundation for her to okay things at the State Department level. And, you know, nobody like this is listening to us, of course, you know, but those people would say, oh, you conspiracy crazy people. You know?
Yes.
But that Uranium One is not going to go away. You know, that whole fiasco. You know what that's about? Do you know?
No, I don't. I don't understand it, and I never did.
Well, see, as Secretary of State, she would have to oversee any agreements that are made by U.S. companies in regards to foreign countries, okay? And okay it, because you just can't let American corporations making agreements with China or Russia or whatever that isn't in the interest of the United States government, okay? So what happened was that Uranium One was a company up in Canada that had rights to uranium processing plants here in the United States. And forgive me, I don't remember the details of how much. It was a high percentage of strategic resource, i.e. uranium, i.e. nuclear bombs, right?
Uh-huh.
And so there was this deal made by Uranium One to sell off. Now, that's a Canadian company. Uranium One to sell off American assets to Russia.
So a Canadian company was able to sell United States things to Russia.
Yes, and those things were actually designated as strategic resources of the United States. Okay? Now, what happened was that, oh God, Mueller was the head of the FBI. And when I first heard about this, when this started coming out, okay, I'm going like, oh, Mueller, oh my God, is he dirty or what? Right? And then things started shifting once the president became president, and all of a sudden I'm looking at Mueller and I'm going like, is he part of a scam to actually catch her? Because what I was hearing was that no, he had tried to investigate it and was told to step down.
By her?
No, well, by the President of the United States, a guy by the name of Obama.
Oh, Obama Nation, yes.
And so anyway, so the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, signed off on this deal. But because of the complexities of the international implications, her signature wasn't enough, and it took Obama's signature, too. And somebody just released, you know, secreted out the actual document regarding this that has her signature on it. I saw that yesterday, I think it was.
And oh!
Wait,
is that the guy whose house got raided?
Oh, somebody's, I don't know, Mueller?
No, not Mueller, the guy who snuck out the papers.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Because that's going on today, too.
I don't know about that. What's that about?
He was supposed to be a protected whistleblower, but the FBI came in and strength and went through his house and took his copies of the Killery papers, and they threatened his family, threatened him, and he kept saying, look, I'm a protected whistleblower. They didn't recognize that, so you know that the black hats are involved in that one. There was no need for them to do it because the right people in the government already had copies of that. So I do not understand why that's going on unless maybe he has more documentation for other of the swamp people, and they were wanting to get that away from him. I really don't understand why they put him and his family through that.
Maybe they didn't have anything else to do that day.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so the uranium one thing. So she signs off on it. Obama signs off on it. And the Russians do the happy dance. Okay? Uh-huh. Now, so down must have been it was at least 2 years before I started hearing about this thing. And what happened was that some person, I'm not even sure because it was kind of murky, but somebody started investigating it and said, well, what would she have gotten out of this? And so they looked at the Clinton Foundation and they found out that there was millions and millions of dollars donated into the Clinton Foundation by people who owned Uranium One. Okay? So this is called pay to play. So the backstory to it is they Uranium One wants to get out of the business or do whatever, or the Russians are offering them, you know, it's probably a setup. Let's look at this, right? The Russians are going, we got to get that Clinton. Those people are so dirty. We got to get, if we don't do something, the Americans are going to nuke us. We got to get rid of that guy, those people. And so they go and they say to the Uranium One, hey, how's about that we pay for this little uranium, U.S. uranium resources you have, and we're going to pay, you know, 10 times the amount of money that you'd ever get anywhere else, or if you ran it yourself for the next 50,000 years. Okay? And so Uranium One goes, ooh, wow, yeah, let's bite, you know? And so now the Russians say, ah, okay. And they know that the only way this is going to go through is if Hillary, greedy Hillary, says, oh, well, I'll do it for, but you've got to, you know, pay millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation. And the Soviets just sat there and watched everything because they had just trapped. Now, remember, it's entertainment only here, boys and girls. I'm making this story up, maybe. Yeah, maybe not. I'm also somebody that's, you know, highly sensitive, and my brain picks up brain waves, you know, stories in the ethers. That's what really happened. So they trap her in what is absolutely, undeniably treason. And treason in a military court virtually demands execution.
Oh, gee, good.
I mean, you can't start, you know, well, let's negotiate. You found me guilty of treason, but let's negotiate the you know, payment for this. No, there is no negotiation. You're found guilty, you're going to be executed. That's the way I understand it. Now, I could be wrong on that. But it could be a trap by Russia. You know, and then Russia hands over to the United States white hats all the information they need to be able to, you know, say, hey, you fell for a trap. Because
I'd love to seriously, be there to see that one.
Seriously, I mean, Uranium One is treasonous, not only by the Secretary of State, but by the President of the United States, by the head of the FBI, Mueller, unless he goes state's evidence and said, no, I tried to stop it, and I was told to stand down. You know?
Yeah, but Mueller looks so freaking dirty. Not just that case, but he just... To me, he's just really dirty. I mean, yeah, maybe he participated in that game thinking, oh, this will get me safe.
I don't know. I mean, I thought he was dirty, too. But some of the things that have been, you know, make me think, wow, you know, is he really, you know, dirty? Is he a swamp person? Or is he somebody that was taking a walk one day and ended up in the swamp?
I don't think you just end up there. You don't just slip and fall into it.
Oh, I think that that's where most of them, what happened to most of them.
You do?
Oh, sure.
I don't.
Oh, come on. You don't have all these people that grow up and say, I want to be a swamp person. I want to really get in there and be nasty and be sociopathic and psychopathic and just be a real, you know, terrible person. They don't wake up doing that. They don't go through their lives training for it, unless you're, of course, part of the family. But I think that they're people that fall in. They set them up, you know. They set them up. They get them in, hey, why don't you come to this party? And so they go to this party, and they find out it's a sex party. And before they know it, they're engaged in it, and there's video of them, and now they're in the swamp, and they're going to be a swamp person.
When I worked for the lobbying firm, there was this nice kid who came in, and he wanted to meet with Patrick. Oh, I shouldn't say names. He wanted to meet with this one person who was an owner, and so
whose name was not Patrick.
No, not Patrick. I got it mixed up with someone else I worked for. So, he met with this guy, and when he came out, he looked a little bit shaken. And so the owner came out, and he was shaking his head, and he says, that poor innocent child, he wants to be a politician, but he has no idea how they will corrupt him immediately. Because he really had no idea what politics was like. And then somebody tried to tell him, who knows? And he never did go any further with it. I was so thankful. I was just so thankful because he's such a nice kid. But even to have a lobbyist try to discourage a poor innocent boy of doing it and try to explain to him, if you get elected, you're going to hell in a handbasket.
Do you remember seeing a TV show that was called The Senator?
Remember the name?
It was a show that was following with the story was about somebody who was, it was sort of like that Jimmy Stewart one, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, where he goes with all these wonderful thoughts in his head, and he gets there and he finds out it's just a swamp. And what happens to him? Well, this was the same sort of story, only it was a TV show. And it was, I mean, I was young and didn't understand some of the implications or, you know, still not completely aware of some of the implications that were probably being talked about at the time. But it was a really good show. But boy, that I think there was 5 episodes of that before that was shut down.
I bet.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want people to see the truth.
No, because that might make us think about other things like
yes.
But people are waking up. People are waking up.
Oh, they are.
It was
really are.
It was interesting hearing. I love the fact that. Okay, and I do want to make sort of an announcement. Yeah, we don't know what's happening with Colleen. But the radio station is essentially stumbling right now in that because of the changes that we had to make regarding No Name.
Yeah.
Everything got boggled down in that, and now I'm working on getting all the YouTubes that I put up over 4 years regarding Shungite to another station because something seems to be happening with them, you know, No Name. And so I'm bogged down in that. But my main mission is to write a book on Shungite because everybody's asking for it, basically. The only book out there is Regina Martino's. I mean, it's known. I think there's some other book out there, but I'm going to be writing the book and focusing on that. But
now, wait, what's the subject? I got lost there.
I'm writing a book on Shungite.
All right.
I mean, you're involved in it because you're doing transcription stuff. The first show that was on today at noontime was the first show where I was with Walt Silva. If you hear weird noise in the background, the dog is drinking water.
I don't hear it.
I can hear it through my headpiece, so I'm wondering if it's going over the station. Anyway,
Aquarius is excited about your book.
Oh yeah.
Yes, would
okay.
Love to read your Shungite book.
So I said, "Oh, no, not a problem. I'm gonna write this thing." But then Derek and I are trying to figure out how to go about this, right? And so we said, "Well, maybe the quickest way is to get Walt and I just talking about the story, you know, how it came about, how we brought all the products out and all this sort of thing." And so we tried that on the Shungite show, only Walt would go off on story.
On his tangents.
I couldn't keep him. He didn't quite get what we were doing, you know? So
yeah.
We got great radio shows, but not much for the book, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going like, okay, he's given us the science because I can give you the story. But
yeah.
The details of the science, I need Walt's words. Now, he's given them to me so many times in different radio stations, but I was figuring it out. Walt and I have done a weekly show for every week. That's what weekly means. For 4.5 years.
Okay, so that's 52 times 4.5 years.
That's over 200 radio shows.
That'll take me a little time to transcribe.
You know? And then, on top of that, they're two-hour radio shows.
Oh, double the time.
You know?
Okay.
Okay? So, how the heck am I going to go through all that to find out what did Walt say? It wasn't like we were taking notes, you know? So, I'm like, oh, what are we going to do here? So then, it's a holiday, and I need to pull something to cover the Shungite show, but for obvious reasons, I don't have too many of those that I can replay. So, although they were brilliant shows, so I said, oh, well, wait a minute, let's go back and see, you know. So I go back all the way to the first show with Walt, and I pull it out of the archives, and I start listening to it, and I'm going like, He gave science in that first interview I did with him that we never talked about again. It was like it just didn't come up in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say something and Walt would say to himself, how can I prove or disprove this, what she said? So he was making up experiments. And so he'd make up the experiment, and he always found out that it was true. But now I had a scientific explanation for the observations I was making.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there it was in the first show. I said, I listened to this show, and I went, what the hell have we been talking about for another 1,000 hours? So that's when I, you know, got you to start transcribing. And because that's the thing that makes us stand out is the fact that we have Walt and that we approached it as a scientific venture. It wasn't a metaphysical dance into happy land. It was scientific. What is this stuff? You know, why is it cleaning water? Why does it do something to radiation so it doesn't it becomes not lethal, not deadly, not harmful? You know, it's not blocking it. It's not absorbing it. We were able to determine that. So the book is high on the scientific background to the things that we talk about. But I'm actually going to write the book in sections. So the first section is just me talking about the story. How did we come together, you know, the story, the nice stuff. And then I'm going to have another section that is what's the science? So that people that really don't care, you know.
Me?
Yeah. The dollies of the world, yes. they don't have to look at that. But what that's going to give me is the ability of when people are asking me, what do you mean by shungite water is not the same as shungite energized water? I'll be able to say, well, go to paragraph such and such on such and such a page. And the other thing that I want it for is because people come back and they say, you said on such and such a radio something. And most of the time they misunderstood or they misremember exactly what I said because I don't forget anything I ever said. But <Yes. laughs> I hope these people think I just make fun of myself. I mean, I have a good time here. I'm kidding you. You know, don't think it's serious because that's what happens. Is that sometimes I got to tell you this story. This will be the best example of this. Okay.
Okay.
So I bring out the tape. You actually the tape that you transcribed. You know. The one on when Walt actually captured the field of Oregon in shungite rubber. This is a Nobel Prize. It should be a Nobel Prize. Because what is Oregon? Oregon is prana, is chi, is a life force. You know, it's all that stuff that metaphysicians have been talking about by different names. But Wilhelm Reich, a scientist, finally gives it a name. It's Oregon. Or gives it another name, Oregon. And Walt was able to picture it. This has never been done before. And then the next day, he went from rubber to resin and got the same thing. So this hour of this show that we did in August of 14, really was an amazing scientific breakthrough thing. And at the same time, I was introducing shungite rubber, which is quite amazing in and of itself. And I had to put it up on the new station, so I'm looking at this thing, and it had over 7,000 hits on it. And you got 7,000 people that have listened to it, but there was only 7 comments. So, yeah. You know, it's always, because we get a lot of hits, and it's very often like that. It's almost like people don't know what to say about it. But we get these kind of weird things happen. So I'm glancing down at the comments, and I've got to pull this up because I wouldn't want to. Okay, where is it? Okay, so this comment is this is a quote. The host seemed to be put off by the guest asking for prayer. Jesus is the risen Lord that is coming back. God loves you. All right, and I'm laughing because I knew exactly what this person was talking about. For some reason, I started that. I think that when we tried to come back from break or something, we had technical problems, and it was kind of a sloppy beginning to that radio show. I even questioned myself on it, but I wasn't about to redo the whole thing. and I just put it up, right? But I'm coming in and I'm saying, I think we better, you know, put a gold bubble in an amethyst bubble and a blue bubble, you know, to, because something must have been wrong with the station. And all of a sudden, Walter says, well, we could ask the listeners to pray for us. If you ever in the thousands of hours that we've listened to him, heard him mention praying?
No.
Never. Right? So I thought I misheard him, and I went, what did you say? You know, and he says, well, we could ask the audience to pray for us. And I went, okay. Because I was so confused by the fact that, that Walt had said something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm telling Walt the story yesterday. I said, Walt, and he said, I said that? I said, I swear to God, it's on tape, it's live. And he said, I actually said that? And I said, yes. And he's like, okay, but he couldn't even believe that he had said it. Not once, but twice, right? So, yes. Okay. But what cracked me up, what absolutely cracked me up was this guy, or Dylan, I guess, yeah, that's a boy. He comes in and he puts as a reply to this person that said, you know, Jesus is the risen Lord that is coming back. God loves you. And he says, watch Zeitgeist, which is a series of movies, but this one was on religion, where it goes into this whole thing about the similarities and the stories of every religious figure that starts a, you know, religion type of thing, and we can talk about it or not because you also watched it, but. It was the way that whole thing kind of unraveled, because we've got these people out there that are, you know, they follow Jesus or some Muhammad, some other source of information, right? Mm-hmm. And they really think that this is the only, I was brought up that if you weren't Catholic, you were going to hell.
Yeah, I heard that. But my religion, Church of Christ, says the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not Church of Christ, you're going to hell. And I said, why? Well, I ended up getting kicked out of church.
Right. Why? Why is this? But this whole concept of the religions based on there's this different view of life. And yet, when this movie came out, and it came out, I think it might have been in 05 or something. It was quite a few years ago. And when I first saw it, it was like, this is incredible. Because there were so many similarities, you know. I mean, they had what? I don't know. It was about 20, 25, maybe more of these different peoples all over the world through time who were born of a virgin woman. That they crucified, that they resurrect. I mean, the details of the whole thing were astounding, that there's that much similarity. But here you got the two, in one comment and one reply, the dichotomy of our audience, right? Because the guy that's talking Zeitgeist is one of us. He knows that for every story, there's probably 20 versions of it. Mm-hmm. That the truth is like a fleeting thing. It's true now, but oops, it's not true here. Why not? Because, you know, truth. You're always searching for the truth. And I think that that's who basically I am. You know, I'm running after the truth all the time. And that's part of our audience. And I would say that it's the bigger part of our audience. But now you got this person who's talking the Christian talk, all right? You're going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. Uh-huh. What the hell are they doing listening to us? You know, especially on a show, I don't know if they listened to the whole thing. Maybe they only went through the first part of it and then made that comment and we're gone. But, I mean, you know the way I do the visuals. The visuals tell you what the show is about. Uh-huh. And this thing was full of pictures of Oregon and people. I mean, it was like this was a scientific thing. And I think that there are people out there whose fundamental belief systems are disintegrating.
Yeah, and they're getting scared.
And they're scared.
Yeah.
But they're also courageous. You know, this person, okay, so they say this weird thing to me or Walt, even though Walt had brought it up. Pray for, okay. You know, what they're doing is they're there because they've got issues with it, and yet because they've got issues with it, they sort of start voicing it. You know that thing that people do? You know, that thing when you really start doubting something, you start to try to convince everybody that you don't doubt it.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They say that you can be hoodwinked much easier than to come to a realization that you got scammed.
Yeah.
And I think that part of this really kind of, you know, powerful reactions that people are having is that at their root core, that their fundamental belief system is already under attack.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's because of you and me and all the other people that get out there and talk about this and change the collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And I've been sending out, open them up. Open up their thoughts. Let them see different ways. I've been sending that out all along. But I didn't mean, well, I knew they would end up being scared because their whole life is being challenged. Now, I believe that Jesus is God's son. Nothing is going to change my mind on that. Nothing. And it's okay. In my religion, I was taught that. In my soul, in my being, I believe it. So it doesn't matter that the church didn't want me coming back because I was making too many questions. It helped me when I realized that you didn't really want me there anymore because it made me think even deeper. Why does the church think they have to shut me up? And why am I seeing so many other stories and religions who believe the same damn thing? They just have different names, different times that it happened. But it's the same story, time after time after time. If I see the same story so many times, there has got to be some kind of truth in that story. And I find when people are trying to make fun of it, well, that's because they're scared.
Yeah. One of the problems that I've had, because it's a recent story, is over the caravan thing. And people are, you know, because I would say you cannot let them in. I don't care who they are. You cannot let them in. This is an invasion. They may not have rifles, but it's certainly an invasion.
I agree.
And what happened was that on Jan's show again, this guy, Michael Grant, my gosh, that was a funny show. That was an amazing show. She has some amazing shows. But Michael Grant, who was one of the people that you would not want your daughter or probably your son to date. You know, this guy admittedly was hanging around with assassins, and I assume that probably he was also.
Yeah.
you know, so, but he, so he's an insider when you're in that side of it, don't you think that the bodyguards around the president have a better grasp of what's happening than anybody else?
I
would think so.
Yeah.
So when he started discussing this very subject and stating that that the people, and I had not heard this, but that the people that are coming, okay, are not your children and fathers and mothers that are trying to get out because of economic and, you know, pressures of, no, these are people that in many cases have infectious diseases.
Yes, and that's coming out in the news.
So it is getting into the mainstream, so to speak.
Yeah. Wow. Not even so to speak. It is. Well, mainstream. No, because I watch OAN. I can't attest to mainstream.
Right. Okay,
that
so
I don't know.
So all of a sudden now, I mean, you want to scare somebody? Tell them the person sitting next to you has got, you know, the flu.
HIV.
HIV, right.
Chickenpox.
You know, all these things.
Measles. Yeah. These are what these people have.
Right. So now, TV. Now what's happening is that they are waking up, the America, according to this guy and according to what I would think would happen. Now Americans are going, wait a minute. And so it's the fear of disease that is making them wake up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, but the fact of the matter is, if you remember, I don't know if I've done it a couple of times. I said, look it, all we have to do is imagining that this thing diffuses. Okay, we're so powerful that we can put out our mental thoughts and just diffuse it, so it's not an issue. And right after that, all of a sudden, they've all got these diseases that now is making people go, oh, don't let them in.
Yeah.
Right? Now, when it all started up, I said, oh, wow. I said, I've got to go back and research Europe. Because I watched as it happened, we all did, how there were all this immigration from Africa and from the Middle East into the European countries. And then the European countries, to meet my way of thinking, were crazy. They said, oh, yeah, come on in. We'll support you. It was insane to me. But they did it by the millions. Not millions, I think it was hundreds of thousands in each country. But Germany opens up their doors, and now, if you're an immigrant, you're a protected citizen, and if you're a citizen of Germany, get out of their way.
Yeah.
And so I knew
They've taken over the country.
They haven't exactly taken it over. They have been protected by this government that's trying to control the people. I mean, what's the outcome? The outcome of you've got people who are becoming more militarized because of their conservative, they're looking at this and they're saying, you're an invasion. And why, so you've got a lot of animosity and hostility that's occurring because it's being promoted by the very government that let them in to begin with. So if you want to see the deep state and you want to see it in a worldwide basis, go to Europe, look at it. Right? So I start to go back to try to pull this all together. And of course, like, my schedule is all screwy. And then somebody says to me, posted or something. Oh, it was, I don't remember which one of my guys, I call them my guys, they do all this research and post it on Cosmic Reality, I love them. And so I go over there, and it's a video, 28-minute video, by Katie Hopkins. She's the one that's talking. Yes, another Hopkins, and I'm sure she's related because she's absolutely marvelous.
She is good.
She must be a first. She must be a first cousin or something. But she put together such a statement from a European. She's a British. She lives in Great Britain. From somebody that is there, explaining from their standpoint, the people there, what happened when they allowed all of this immigration to occur. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to play that 28 minutes because I think it's that important. But I also want you to know that this girl is one of us because she is hysterical.
She is.
She is very funny. So she takes a terrible subject, and she brings humor into it, and some of it's European humor. You might not get it, but you're going to laugh anyway because the audience does, and that's, you know, trained. We're all trained to do that.
And she's pretty blunt.
And she's very blunt
in her words, so be prepared to hear words that might be ethnically, what do you call it?
not appropriate, what is it?
That, right, right, whatever they
politically inappropriate.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right, right, right. But, so, yeah, we're going to have it. I think you'll enjoy it. While we're doing that, I'm going to try to look up the link. I meant to have it up here so that I could send you to the YouTube. Because she's just as cute as can be. She, if you think, all right, when you're hearing her voice and you're hearing her present the quips that make you laugh, think of Ellen DeGeneres. She makes a remark about it, you know, but she does look sort of like Ellen. And she's just delightful. So we're going to take
her gestures and facial expressions bring it home.
Yeah. Yep. So when we come back, we're going to take a couple minute breaks, and then we're going to play the tape, and then Dolly and I are going to come back and talk about it. So,
It's 28 minutes.
It's 28 minutes. And let's see, I need to put up some song here. Oh, let's just do Phil Collins. Or you want Disturbances, or do you want Phil Collins in the air tonight?
That's, in the air tonight. Let's do that.
That's 5 minutes, so here we go.
Oh, okay.
But the pain still grows, so strange to you.
Okay, so we're back. I'm not bringing Dolly in because we're going to play the Katie Hopkins YouTube presentation, 28 minutes, and then we'll see you. Or actually, it says 24 minutes here, so 24 minutes.
Thank you very much for having me here. It's such a pleasure to be, I don't know, amongst people that are prepared to fight for their country, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. A couple things I should clear up, really, before I start. First up, I'm not Milo. And neither, slightly more offensively, am I Milo's mother. And also, for the record, some people on the Democratic side of things say that I'm a crap Ellen DeGeneres. I'm not her either. Actually, I'm not even gay. I just have short hair. Those are two different things. I am a straight, white, conservative female with one husband and three children under 30. And where I come from, back in Blighty, that virtually makes me an endangered species. I'm on the extinction sort of list, the list of animals that are due for extinction. I'm up there with the black rhino. And he has an advantage because he's black. Black Lives Matter, people. In fact, the threat against me has become a little bit more real of late. I've been kind of under attack myself, I suppose, as so many of us have. Only last week, a lovely lady called Madia Harach. If I got that wrong, I don't apologize. And her partner, they're British, of course. They were in court and they were found guilty of conspiring to commit acts of terror against citizens of the UK, one of which was to decapitate me. Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Islamic Extremist 2017 had been romancing a jihadi, and as her wedding gift, she wanted my head on a plate. I was at the top of her list because I am the biggest bitch in Britain. Yes, I am. She bought him a hunting knife, she bought him a plastic dummy to practice his stabbing skills on, and they chatted about the glorious day on WhatsApp. And in a rare example of the British police actually doing the job they've been paid for instead of placating the Muslim mafia or policing my Twitter, she has been found guilty and sent down. All right. She is going down, and she better get used to that in the slammer that she's been sent to. And I live to fight another day. And so here I am, and my message to you resonates with what the boys were saying. I was thinking they're a bit like the three wise monkeys, those guys, aren't they? Except they do hear it, they do see it, and they do say it. So thank God for them. But my message is simple. Do not let this great country become the United Kingdom. Do not allow America to fall as Europe has fallen. Look at us. Let us be a warning. Be better than us. I've watched my country fall apart, And I want to warn others before they let their country do the same. And believe me, I love my country. I'm not quick to talk it down. I was sponsored through university by the Intelligence Corps. I passed out of the Royal Military Academy Sandhurst to serve my country as an army officer. We went in as a troop of 32 girls. We came out as 8 more or less men. Oh, yeah. It's still there, but doesn't work that much. And I wanted to become the first female general. My epilepsy put paid to that. It's why I have short hair too, actually. But it brought me to the media, and so my fight goes on. And this fight is real. The UK today is a place few of us recognize. I get letters and emails, really upsetting ones, from 60 and 70-year-olds struggling to make sense of the country they love. Like my mum and dad, they ask me, has the world gone mad? How is this all going to end up? Where does this stop? Some of them email me to say that they're glad they're old because they will be gone soon. And they won't have to wait for the time they see their country fall. These are hard messages to read, and they're really hard messages to respond to. And believe me, I am wary of painting too depressing a picture. I have not come here to be part of the fear. I have not come here to talk my country down or to fail to see the good in Britain. But there are some blunt truths I believe it is my duty to tell. You are more likely to be raped in London than in New York. You are more likely to be attacked with acid from a guy on a moped in East London than in Islamabad. And when it comes to terror, the head of the UK MI5 said the risk is now impossible to contain or to control. Serving police officers in Muslim-controlled areas of the UK email me and allege that the local imam at the mosque is in charge of selecting the police officers he will allow to police his neighbourhood. In a relentless programme of appeasement by the establishment, they continually seem to put the lives of jihadi and the Muslim mafia ahead of the lives of our own daughters. And in the latest recruitment round for the police, white British males were excluded from the day's coaching in how to pass the recruitment day. If you were white and male, you could not go. If you were gay or ethnic or black or any other minority, then you could apply. And I have nothing against those people. But in the UK, discrimination against whites is institutionalised and systemic. I applied for a place for my husband just to see if he could get through. He's a male, vaguely, and he's white, and they said no. But without a minority card to play or a race card, you have no grounds for redress anymore in our country. The UK is now formed of two distinct territories. There is Londonistan and there is the rest of the UK. London and the rest of the UK. If you took Britain and spun it on its side, it is very much a baby America. London is Clinton. London is California, the bad bits, and all the good bits I see are here today. London is Bill de Blasio's New York, and he's an utter cockwomble if ever I met one. He may be tall, but he is the smallest man I know. And then there is a better place. There is a place called the rest of the UK. There is a place where hard-working Brits want to do a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. They want to look after their families. They want to love their country. They'll fight for their country. They support Trump. They voted Brexit. Occasionally we want to have a barbecue with our families, but we can't because it never stops bloody raining. That is a good place, and it's the place where I come from. It's the place where I put my lovely husband. It's the place I put my children, and it's the place that I live in. I live in a place called the rest of the UK. And here people have grown weary about speaking out because it's just not worth the hassle. There is mass silencing of the thoughts of Brexiteers, of us deplorables, considered racist or stupid or wrong. We're browbeaten into shutting up. But they're still there. And there's a quiet rumble of discontent at the state of Londonistan. And that quiet rumble is getting louder. Our win for Brexit was just like your win for Trump, which I went on CNN and called a week before it happened. And that went really well. And when we stand together, our voices are a low rumble that becomes an almighty thunder, and our voices are heard. The quiet rumblings turn into a roar, and we're not alone. Across Poland, Italy, Austria, Germany, the voices of the discontented are rising up to reject the globalist agenda of the people that are managing the decline of Europe and letting us fall. Sebastian Kurz's People's Party, he is also better looking than the Canadian Justin Trudeau, so take that, you lame-ass piece of crap. The German AfD, the huge parade of patriots in Poland recently in support of national pride, you can feel the determination of the people that I talk to. I can feel the possibilities. There is hope. We do not have to watch our country fall. And there is action we can all take. There's three things I'd quickly like to run through, if I may. Firstly, most importantly, the same as the guys were saying, we must reject the narrative. Resist the narrative. Just because someone said it and they're wearing a uniform or a badge does not make it true. When we're scared, a strong narrative can be reassuring, like when we're little and a bad thing's happened and you run and you tell your teacher. And so too after terror. We look around for someone in a uniform to tell us what to do. These days in the UK, they say run, hide, tell. My granddad fought in the war. These were not orders that he would recognise. And in the quiet calm of our streets, when the threat is neutralised and yet another terrorist is taken down, the media machine goes into action, and it's terrifying to observe. We stand united. We are not cowed. The terrorists will never win. Repeated over and over by the Muslim mayor, by the prime minister, by the chief of police, the mantra of multicultural acceptance, the same script. Everything, the same time, every time. We stand united. We are not cowed. We stand shoulder to shoulder. And the media run around with their cameras showing people drinking cups of tea like that's going to solve the problem. The real truth is not this fabrication. We do not stand united. Our daughters were left crumpled on the sidewalk. Some lost limbs. Some under a truck, like the images you had of those bikes strewn on the cycle path in New York of the Argentinians. We do not carry on as normal. Mothers and fathers are burying their daughters. A boy I know wrote to me, he's learning to use his legs again after they were blown apart at the Manchester attack. He does not carry on as normal. Others seem to carry on as normal because what's the alternative? What, hiding in your home? Is that defeat? It's not normal to build walls on bridges of rings of steel around Christmas markets. If this is terror losing, I would hate to see terror win. Oh, yeah. Enough of the candlelights, enough of your hashtags, enough of your heart-shaped gestures at the sky, enough of turning the Eiffel Tower lights on and off. I'm epileptic. Flashing lights don't do me any favour whatsoever. I wrote all this, you know, in a column on Mail Online. I write for dailymail.com, and I went on Tucker Carlson. He did his best confused face. And Tucker, quit that. Tucker, you're my mate. You do not have to put on a confused face just because we're on telly. And for the crime of this column, which was a précis of what I just said, I was reported to the British Metropolitan Police for hate crime and inciting violence against Muslims. We can reject the narrative. Two, we can commit to arm ourselves. Not just with the help of the NRA. Sadly, in the UK, we don't have that luxury of the Second Amendment. Our police on our streets are armed with the equivalents of a Clorox spray and a Band-Aid. Some even have a letter from their mum excusing them from games. But we can arm ourselves with information. Information that we find closest to the source. Not information fed through the liberal filters of Google or the Californian Fruit Loops at Facebook. We must look for our own truths. I spent 48 hours in the migrant camp at Calais in France. It's called The Jungle, quite appropriately it seems to me, where African migrants masquerading as children and asylum seekers fought their way through tear gas and steel fencing to break into the trucks crossing over from France to Dover to sneak into the UK. My photographer was lynched, his camera was stolen, his wallet taken, he was beaten up. And he went home because he was badly beaten, actually. I had my arm dislocated. They came for us with steel bars. We were put in the back of a van and taken out of the camp to safety. I went back in the next day. I was told to cover up by the charity workers there, the do-gooders, the Democrats, those types, you know. They told me to cover up my shoulders because it was offensive to the Muslim men. So I stripped off. They didn't like my tiny tits much better either. I met a lady with a little boy, and I was trying to find this quieter story, you know, real women, real problems. And her little boy, it was the first child I'd seen in camp, and she invited me into her little caravan thing. And it turned out her little boy was in fact a little girl. Except she dressed him as a boy so that at night the migrant men wouldn't come and try and steal him from her. And I learned a big lesson as well. I was naive. Migrants don't come for a new life and leave their old life behind. They bring them with them. All the old conflicts from back home. The Eritreans hate the Somalis, who hate the Afghanis, who don't speak to the Libyans. And they're still fighting. They come, they do not start a new life, they bring the conflicts from back home. I spent 48 hours in the cab of a large haulage truck because I wanted to understand the dangers of this crossing people were making. I always said, one day someone will die making this crossing because our truckers are at risk. British truckers' lives are at risk, and indeed one has since died. And I had my eyes open once more. These entire truck stops run by the mafia, movement of migrants, ticketed, organised, controlled, lucrative. Officers at the port paid to turn a blind eye to the migrants crossing. It is much more systematic than we imagine. I travelled to Libya, to the coast of southern Italy, to join the migrants crossing over from the Med. You'll know that there's charity boats, Save the Children. Just because they call themselves Save the Children, it doesn't mean that they are. It is virtually a ferry service. And to be completely honest with you, for transparency, I would rather it was a ferry service. Hundreds of thousands of migrant men, fully aware of their rights, given places in local hotels to stay, given €35 a day, a sum that locals themselves don't earn. And when I carried on my journey and talked to these men in these hotels, they were blockading the road in the local village in southern Italy because their Wi-Fi was too slow. The rice that they were served was too soft. And they were protesting their rights. These are the people that come. I met with a woman on the tarmac at the side of the road in the heat. And she looked ill. She said she was poorly. She was there to service the drivers as they passed. She was trafficked for this life. And these do-gooders, remember, think they are saving lives. They are not saving lives. They are destroying lives while they're pretending to do good. And I walked the suburbs of no-go Sweden because Trump said Sweden has fallen, and the media crucified him for that. They mocked him relentlessly. I can confirm firsthand, Sweden has fallen. An elderly woman grabbed me. She had only Arabic for language. She grabbed me by both arms. Wrong hair, wrong face, wrong face, wrong place. She was worried for me. She was a kind lady. I was the only white woman, the only woman, the only white in the whole of the area of Sweden that I was in, where people no longer go. And she was worried for my safety. No-go Sweden has fallen to the migrants. And the Somalis still battle the Eritreans, who still battle the Afghanis, just like they did in the camp at Calais. And whilst I was there, two hand grenades were found in the police station, just in a bin outside the police station. And a week later, a Muslim took a truck and rammed it into pedestrians in the shopping arcade, as you will recall. One was an 11-year-old girl. It's a curious thing, you know, how the bodies of our daughters slain by Islamist terror never make the front pages of any of the press. I interviewed a girl who lived in the forgotten suburbs because it was all she could afford. She can't go out at night. She daren't leave her home. She was burgled, but the police couldn't come because their cars are looted and torched. She said she's no longer allowed to carry pepper spray to defend herself because a girl that was attacked by a gang of Muslim men accidentally pepper sprayed the wrong guy and was prosecuted for GBH. Sat in the darkness of our home, she wouldn't even allow me to take a picture of her face for the camera before fear of reprisals by Swedish feminists who support the migrant men at all costs. In the game of Top Trumps, the victim edition, if you are a migrant, you win every time. Swedish feminists, in fact, feminists as a whole, have never been more disappointing. I fail to see how they support women. And I met the head of the toughest fire station in Sweden, who was exceptionally good-looking. I'm just going to say that. But once I'd moved over on that point, he was now building a bigger fence around the station to stop migrants vandalising the engine, the fire engines, and to stop them coming in and stealing the cutting equipment, which they like to steal. I asked him whether walls like this were our future, and he looked at me really strangely. He was surprised. He said, no, it's too late for that. We no longer build walls to keep people out. Going forward, we will build walls to keep the people that we love in. And that, it still gives me the shivers now, actually. And these are my truths. These come straight from the mouths of men and women who live this stuff every day. No filter, no lens, no censorship, no Google ranking, no New York Times. And next up for me, I want to go and join the white farmers of South Africa who are being systematically cleansed from the country by blacks there. And this way we find our own truths. If we can resist the narrative, if we can, just by speaking to people we know, doctors, nurses, teachers, people in the street, people that have got problems, we can find our own truths. We will have the story of the people who will have the power. And then finally, the third arm of this thing is that we have to have the moral courage to fight. We have to somehow find the strength to withstand the constant attacks that we face. And Trump is the Jedi Master at this game. I love him. We know what it's like to be ostracized by friends who don't like our opinions. People can be unkind. The media can be merciless. But we all need to find the moral courage to stand strong. You know, I have battles of my own, of course. I have Mrs. Rashalaharabaha, who see my head as a prize. I've got the pocket-sized Muslim mayor of Londonistan, who's about as useful as a chocolate teapot. There is a ruder version which involves a penis-flavoured lollipop, but I thought that wasn't correct for today. I have a Muslim mayor that I cannot stand. He spent £1.7 million on an online hate police force to police my Twitter feed. I've been arrested for my writing. I was interviewed under caution by the Major Crime and Homicide Command for a column in a newspaper. And I was referred to the Crown Prosecution Service for my commentary on life because a complaint was made by the Society for Black Lawyers. I look forward to meeting the Society for White Lawyers one day. And my family are reported to social services on a fairly regular basis. People hope that they can take my children from me, and that will silence me. The last time social services rang and said they'd had a complaint, I said, but my children at home and my husband just made them a prawn salad, because prawns are quite posh in my family. And the guy was like, that doesn't really help. No, it doesn't. And vexatious litigation, of course, is never far from my door. But I'm not complaining. There is no self-pity. I've put myself out there. I have to suck it up. If I don't like it, I can get home, sit on my sofa, shut up, and become a vegan. And that is not going to happen. But resistance is key, and when we come under attack, we need to make like an arrowhead and feel the criticism falling from your sides. You know, I get a lot of emails from 16, 17-year-olds who feel like they have no voice in school anymore. They can't say if they're a Brexit supporter or if they're one of the members of Gays for Trump. They can't speak out. And I say to them, make like you're diving into a swimming pool. Feel the water coming off your sides. Feel that. Imagine that's the criticism falling off you, and keep moving forward. We can keep moving forward. The liberals who reject Brexit or try to discredit Trump, they gave birth to our determination to succeed. They are Frankenstein and we are their monster, and we are big and we are bad and we are coming for them. They are right to be afraid. We can do this. Yes, we can. If only I was black, that would work so much better. We can commit to refuse the narrative. We can commit to arm ourselves with our truth, with no liberal filter. And we can commit to have the moral courage under attack to keep moving forward. This is our time. Do not become like Britain. Get furious and fight back. Thank you very much.
So, you're listening to the Say What Show. It is the first day of December 2018. With me is my co-host and my super friend, Dolly Howard. And that was my cousin, Katie Hopkins, from Great Britain.
I wonder if she knows that.
Oh, I'd love to talk to her. Ooh, oh, wow.
Yes. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have her on our show with us?
Oh, maybe we can try.
Although you try this one. The last one pooped out on me.
Well, I went to find the link to the YouTube, and I put her name in, just her name, and it came up on Wikipedia, so she's famous.
Yes, she is.
She's not good. I never heard of her before. I am just such a fan. I mean, yes, I am sure there are people out there that are furious with that kind of thing. As I was listening to her again, I kind of laughed at myself because all my life I'd been a Democrat, a registered Democrat. And I took it seriously, you know. If a Republican won a seat in the House, I was like nervous, you know. I truly had bought into that kind of a thing, and then suddenly I became aware of reality. But never in my life would I have thought that those conservative minded people that I had an essential disdain for, in the end, would be the ones that would be supporting the same philosophy and way of seeing reality as I am. Mm-hmm. I find it fascinating, but that's where you get. You know, I think that if you follow your heart, you want to be a Democrat. You want to be able to open up your arms to everybody. But if you want to be following your heart, still following your heart, but letting your mind play the game of life. See, I think that this is where it might differ, is that now I play the game of life. I don't see it like I've been told to see it. I'm seeing it one piece at a time by the data that I'm supplied with. I'm looking for the truth. I'm not looking for illusionary, you know, explanations for what I'm seeing. I want the truth. And so as you go through life looking at it like that, you see the good and bad in everything. Unfortunately, in Washington, there's not very much good because the system is designed to... I've said this for decades. If you're a politician, you are dishonest.
That's right.
Because you cannot get to where you get to without being dishonest.
Right.
You know? So, it's the systems. You know, is the guy, the doctor that's up there pumping pharmaceuticals into somebody who stays in his job while a woman who's supporting using turpentine is a healing agent and healing her patients and nobody's dying on her, but that put her in jeopardy, and she now lives out of the country. You know, this dichotomy of the society that we have. What is the basis of it? You know, it's how people see in reality. And I think it's just like Katie was alluding to. I remember, I don't know if many people paid attention to it, but I did. Were you paying attention to what was happening to Europe when the immigration thing started up?
No.
Yeah, it bypassed a lot of people. I don't even remember having a show on it. But I was watching it. I think because I didn't know. I mean, because you had the real conspirator types out there that were saying that this was an invasion. It was part of the New World Order, the cabal and everything. And yet my, you know, concept of, well, maybe these people really are hurt. Maybe you have to open up the doors. But I didn't have enough time to pursue it, you know, so I didn't really come to any understanding of it except to be aware that it was happening. And then shortly after that, all of a sudden it hits me again, and it's like, oh, wow, this looks awful. And the way she presents it, it's even more awful.
Yeah.
But, like I said, the difference this time is that you have a president that's saying no.
Yes.
All of the other times, the presidents and the government were saying, oh, yes, come in, we'll support you. You know? And so the American people are he's inhuman, inhumane, you know? And they're screaming this while he's ordering the troops to the border. And the rest of us that have a better perception on what's happening, because we're not completely in the heart, we're not non-thinking, we're playing a game, we're analyzing it, we're engaging it. You know, no, wait a minute, that's what it looks like to you, but I'm not sure, I think I see something different. And then you hear the people that are on the ground, like, why do I believe her? Well, for a lot of reasons, but particularly because she was on the ground. She went to these places. She took the route. You know, she saw that the organization behind it that got those immigrants up there. Same thing happening here.
Yeah.
But this time they're sick. And that's the difference. The president is the president, and the people are sick. Now, we went and we just asked, please make this an easy thing. Don't let anybody get hurt, right? And I'm going, because my mind being creative, you know, making stories up all the time, I'm starting to go with it, and I'm going like, wait a minute, let's just let it go, because I don't have any clue as to how we would manifest that. You know, how do you, all of a sudden the troops put down their guns and the people turn around and go back? You know, that's not going to happen. So what it is, and all of a sudden it blows up all over the press that they're sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a perfect, I mean, it's like a trump card. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like the universe never, you can call it angels. You know, I like to think of it as our power as human beings to be co-creators, to put it out there that we would like to see the situation and then let the universe respond. And they always respond with something that I never would have imagined. And I write fiction. You know? Sweet.
Yeah. Well, it's been proven to me now that when we talk and we send this stuff out to the universe, it starts happening. And the more people who say what we say are adding to the consciousness and cosmic consciousness, and things are happening that we're asking for. Oh, plus, we got our angels.
I like that. Yes, we have the angels. Cosmic consciousness. That's what we'll start using. We're just going to coin that word. Cosmic consciousness.
Yeah.
Because it's not just the human consciousness. Yes, there is the human consciousness. But by this level in the game of life, no, we're not operating like we did 2 years ago.
No. We are more confident.
Well, I heard it in my voice, Dolly, because I'm playing these old shows, like back in 2014.
Yes.
That's 4 years ago. And the change in my voice and my presentation to me was rather, wow. I don't know why anybody listened to me. I sounded kind of manic. You know, because I was speaking at a lot faster rate. I was virtually screaming all the time. You know, and now I'm much more mellow. And the reason for that is because right now I'm so certain. I have a certainty about what's happening. Whereas then it was more of a hope.
Yes.
You know, so in 4 years we've gone from, gee, I hope it's this way, to a certainty. And that's a pretty awesome change.
It is. I really feel more confident in myself and in others. And that's the important part. I feel confident in others too. Because I didn't have any trust in anybody before. But I do now. I do, because you can see it and hear it. And even observing people, you can see more and more people are walking with confidence. They don't have their shoulders slumped down so much and look at the ground as they're walking. They're looking up more, standing up straighter. I've noticed that because Sherry's gotten me out. And it's a good thing to see.
That's interesting because I don't go out.
Well, Sherry got me out.
I'm going to look at that, you know, see what might, because I wasn't paying attention. I mean, all I'm trying to do is get the groceries, find some nice people to smile at, go home.
Yeah. And people are more friendly in the grocery. We went to the commissary, and there was this one guy I kept seeing. Well, finally, I started up this conversation with him, and then two other ladies that were there started in with us, and we were laughing and joking and teasing the guy, and we ended up going through the store kind of together, but yet not, and so we just carried on this conversation from aisle to aisle when we'd run into each other, and he helped me reach the tall stuff because he was tall, and every time in the different places we ran into each other, the other people joined in too. It was incredible. I thought, wow, I am witnessing a big change, and it just made me happy.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you. Big changes. Big changes.
Yeah.
And what else? Let's see. Gosh, are we running out of things to say?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm sitting here watching the bottom where the words run across and they tell you what's going on while the main new stuff is on the top. And I can't find where they were telling about this guy anymore, about the guy that turned in the Hillary papers and they raided his house. I can't find it. It was going down on the bottom, running across, but they must have changed the run across thing. They're talking an awful lot about that frickin' Bush. A Wednesday is a Trump has declared as a mourning day for him. I'll be partying and dancing. I'm not mourning for that asshole.
Oh, for such a nice person, you can get very vindictive.
I can. When it comes to hurting people, especially if it's people I like or love, I can be very mean. Because they're being mean to those I like.
Well, you know, he once was overheard saying, if the American people knew what we did, they'd lynch us.
Yeah, I heard that.
We can't lynch him now. However, the good thing about people dying is that when you pass over, you have to go through that life review.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a long life review. Uh-huh. But what would happen was that he would see his life play out in front of him, and then he would have an understanding of what happened. But then immediately, it would play out again. But it would be from the vantage point of the person that was involved with him.
He's got an awful lot of people like that.
You know, I'm wondering, was President Kennedy the first person he encountered? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, he's got to go through that. But then, it turns around, and all the people that have been affected because of what you did, you have to go and experience what they felt. So this guy is now in the process of experiencing the life of every single human being on the face of the earth that was damaged because what he did. And he did it on November 22nd, 1963. If he did nothing else in his life, that alone is going to keep him in what they term purgatory and maybe hell for a very long time, because he affected every single human being on the face of this planet. And yeah, for the face of the planet for the last 60 years.
Yep.
So, this guy's not having a good day. Let me put it to you that way.
I wouldn't think so. Definitely not having a good time wherever he is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got images in my head, whether I'm making them up or it's Dave passing them on to me. But, you know, like an arena with the old guy coming in there and all those people's just, you know, like the gladiator thing, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know how they used to put their fingers down, you know. Uh-huh. Everybody's got their fingers down.
Yeah. That is funny. Thumbs down. Off of his head.
Now he's with his wife, you know.
Who I found out, I really liked her. I really, really liked her, but I found out she was just as bad as he was. And it broke my heart.
Yeah, a lot of them. I mean, again, it was something said, I think on Katie's tape there, that we want to hear the father figure tell us everything is okay.
Yeah.
And when you find out the father figure is a swamp person, yeah, you know, it's very devastating. And I think that's one of the reasons that they're going about this whole transition into the military courts, the military justice system, to try these people, is because that's a real culture shock on a personal basis, because let's face it, we all are looking for somebody to tell us what it is. Well, I don't want to be told what it is. I want to be guided to figure it out.
I take the lazy way out. Just tell me.
I kind of feel like the just tell me thing is a little bit of cheating, Dolly, because it's like, you know,
I cheated. Really, I cheated in school.
Oh, I did once.
That's how I passed biology.
I know, you told that story.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about us, we admit everything.
Yeah, you can't blackmail us.
Nope,
confess.
Yeah, no secrets here. We've told everybody everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then
it's fun though, because then you can sleep good at night.
Oh, well, my problem was I kept forgetting it. I was a terrible. I couldn't remember what was secret and what was lies. You know, it's like.
And you're in the military.
Oh, I used to get in so much trouble because we'd go to a class and everything, you know, and then we'd go out to you know, have the lunch break thing, and I'd start to talk at the table, and all of a sudden I'd get this weird reaction by everybody, and they're going, "Oh, that's secret," and I'm going like, "It is? Why?" You know, because I would forget what, I mean, the stuff that they were making secret was basically well known by people that studied any of this stuff. And it was such an insane thing. And it just got worse. The higher access information I got access to, the crazier it got. They have secrets that are not secret. They think they're secrets, but they're not secrets. Everybody knows this. You know, so.
Well, did you ever ask them, why is this a secret when everybody knows it?
Well, I had to explain to the U.S. military, well, the Army in particular, how their radio transmissions could be intercepted by the enemy. Now, today this sounds rather basic, but this was back in 1973 time frame. So I tried to get information that could support this. But everything regarding listening to radio or electronics was secret. So I couldn't access, because I wanted to give this to the guy that's on the ground. Don't screw up with your radio, you know? Mm-hmm. So I find a document from Sweden that absolutely spelled it all out. I mean, here it would have been a secret document at least, but here it is being, you know, all over Sweden, because it was given to the Swedish military people so that they would understand. And I sent it up to higher command, and I said, can I cite this particular document, the Swedish document? You know? No, you have to use our documents. I said, I can't use your documents. You made them secret. It was so bad. So you know what I did, Dolly? I got my, I had a sergeant that was a really good cartoonist.
Uh-huh.
And I had him, I had him draw up a cartoon. It wasn't, you know, it was like a little cartoon book, but it wasn't very long, explaining radio intercept, telephone intercept, this stuff, but in cartoon characters. And I said that it was I put it in a document that was given to everybody. It was a textbook on Soviet electronic warfare. And so I stuck it in there. But it was a cartoon thing.
Yeah.
But at least I got the information to the troops, and I got it in a weird way. But when you look at it, the secret information I just put out as a cartoon. I mean, it's such a joke. The whole thing is such a joke. The secrets aren't secrets. Nobody keeps them. Nobody pays any attention. See, this was an interesting thing that I heard from Catherine Fitz. What's her three names? Fitz is her last. Catherine Austin Fitz. Catherine Austin. Catherine Austin Fitz. She was the head of HRS. And realized that there was a lot of shenanigans going on. She got out, ran her own firm. They shut her down because they kept hitting her with federal legal stuff. So she finally started going public with what she knew and made a website called Solaris Report. And what she was telling people is that, you know, trillions of dollars, $30 trillion disappears yearly in the United States. And so she's known to be just the most incredible authority on, you know, the deep state and the financial grid thing. And she said that she was in a meeting when she was at HRS with John Kemp, was the guy that was ahead of it at the time. And he was having a real anger spout about something or other, and he was already worked up. And he's going to do this, and he's telling the HSR, this is at the federal level staff, you got to have to do this, 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 this. And Catherine said, wait a minute, you can't do that. That's illegal. And he went off on her about, why would you think that I should pay attention to the law? And she said this was such an eye-opening experience for her, because she realized that these people don't even respect the law.
Yeah.
But you see, that's where they fundamentally went wrong. Because now, we know that behind the scenes, there are some really terrible things that these people have done. Immoral, inhumane things. But it's like the what was his name, the gangster there that got, they couldn't get him for murder, but they got him for tax evasion.
Oh, was it Bugsy, or
he's a Chicago mafia guy.
Yeah, I know who you're. I see his picture in my face.
He's pudgy.
Yeah.
So, but that guy there, you know, they couldn't get him on murder, but they could get him on tax evasion. And what's happening, in my opinion, with these indictments is that they're going after the laws that they broke. Those very laws that they had such a disdain for, that they didn't have to follow. I think that's where they're going after them, because of the Arkansas, what's happening there. They're going after them. But it's from things that they've broken the law, these people. The Clinton establishment in Arkansas. They're taking that apart. They're going to trial and jail. But it's all for legal things that they just disregarded the law. They were breaking the law. And this, you know, so it's just come back to bite them.
Yeah.
Arrogant fools.
And I think they still believe they shouldn't be held accountable for anything. They're above everything.
Well, that's the awakening. When the dark side realizes, no, you can't get away with it. Maybe that's the real awakening. Not that the light workers are going to get any more awakened, it's that the dark side's going to wake up and say, what do you mean? You know, you can't break the law and get away with it. What do you mean?
Yeah. What do you mean I'm guilty? I'm not guilty of anything.
Oh, dear. That might be the great awakening. I love this. This is too funny. So, okay, so tomorrow we're going to have the Sunday oldies.
And I'm going to get to listen to them.
Good.
Because I'm home. Things are calm.
And what we do on Sundays is we repeat the David Wilcox, your last reading. Because I just want... it's just such a delight to hear you reading that book. And that book is a delight. It gives us so much information regarding, you know, what happened long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But it wasn't another galaxy. It was this galaxy.
Yes. And it's really gotten to an interesting part.
Yeah, so anybody out there that just wants to, because remember, it repeats through the night, through the day, you might want to go and just listen to Dolly read this last 2 hours, because it really got into what's called the ancient builder race. The people that came through the solar system and brought civilization. And he talks about, why is this part of the solar system important? Well, because it's got a vortex, you know, a wormhole. All of these things that were sci-fi are, you know, proving
Star to Trek
be,
is real.
Star Trek is real. Yeah. 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 Oh, my goodness. So I thank you all for listening to us. And Dolly, so much appreciate you. I've missed you. And we miss you, Colleen.
Yeah, Colleen, come home.
Yes, yes.
You don't have to play on the radio. Just come home.
That's right. That's right. Okay,
let
darling.
Us know what's up. Okay. Well, love you, and I'll be talking to you soon. And thank you, listeners, for listening. You'll hear me next time, next on Wednesday, right?
Wednesday. Yeah, you'll be doing another installment. I don't know that it's the end, but it's close.
It's close. I think we have like 3 more weeks.
I love it. I've had so much fun listening to it.
I'm thoroughly enjoying the book. Really. I think the rest of you would too if you heard it. So, that's it for me, folks. I'm tired. I'm gonna lay down for real.
And for anybody that is not watching Oak Island, hey, tune in.
Yeah. It's exciting.
It's been fun this year. They're finding things.
Yes. I'm thinking this will be the last year.
Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, be safe, everybody out there. Be blessed, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Say What? Say What Radio Show. With no agenda. It's always a surprise. But if we're not having fun, we're doing something wrong. You are